Now, for the second half of the sermon today, we will do a little more on the if clause. See if we can put it together so it follows along. And in looking ahead, as I mentioned, there are more ifs in the New Testament than the Old Testament. But what we're going to see is a consistency in what God wants. Now, if you can take the sermons that I did, God's grace and commandment keeping, and how that for the New Testament and conversion, we need the Spirit of God to have a spiritual relationship with Him, to keep the commandments of God spiritually motivated from within by the Spirit of God. So we have a greater standard to meet than they have in the Old Testament, but nevertheless, in the letter of the law, this is what God required. And He did not offer them any place, you can read here, any place that they would have eternal life. Not like the New Testament, whereas the Scripture is, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him may not perish, but may have everlasting life. And of course, that is conditional. May is a form of what is called subjunctive, meaning that it is very akin to an if clause. You may, according to God's standard. Not that you should have eternal life according to your standard, but according to God's. Now let's come to Deuteronomy 11. And let's see that the love of God, love toward God, is in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. And we already have seen how that God told him to love him with all her heart, mind, and soul, and being. Even in the letter of the law, they could do that. So he says the same thing here. Because you see, all of the punishment for sin is part of the love of God, so that it is going to bring us back to Him. All right, now, Deuteronomy 11 and verse 1. Now, what I want you to do in this, I want you to go back and read chapter 9 and chapter 10, because that all leads up here to chapter 11. Now, chapter 11 and verse 1, book of Deuteronomy. Therefore, you shall love the Lord your God and keep His charge and His statutes and His judgments and His commandments always. And you shall consider this day that I do not speak with your children who have not known and who have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, His greatness, His mighty hand, and His outstretched arm. Then he reiterates all the things that happened in Egypt, all the things that happened along the way as they came to where they are now, ready to enter into the promised land. Now come over here to verse 11. But the land which you are entering to possess, it is a land of hills and vales that drink water from the rain of heavens. In other words, he said, not like Egypt, where you have to irrigate. God would bless it, and He would bring the rain. It is a land which the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it from the beginning of the year even to the end of the year. Now, what better relationship could you have with God, huh? Think of that. Creator of heaven and earth watching over this special piece of land. And now what has it turned into? The bloodiest parcel of land on earth. Verse 13. And it will be, if you will hearken diligently to my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart, with all your soul. And what did Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments, right? Same thing. Only for us, it's a spiritual thing with the Spirit of God. For them, it was in the letter of the law. Can people in the letter of the law love God as much as they can with their heart and all their soul? Of course. He says, then. So here we have an if and then. Sometimes we have an if and when. This is if and then. I will give the rain of your land in its due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that you may gather your grain, your wine, and your oil. And I will send grass in your fields for your livestock, so that you may eat and be full. And remember what we read last time. God said, when you have eaten and are full and dwell in goodly houses, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God for giving you all of these blessings. But what happens every time? What was the story through the book of Judges? Another generation comes along. And then they go after other gods when God said, don't go after them. And the new generation that comes along, it never fails. It happens in our lives. It happens in every life of a new generation. You think, just like I did, just like you did, that you know more than your folks, right? And so you're going to do it your way, correct? Yes. So the new generation comes along after Joshua and the elders were in the land, and they said, now look at all of these old gray-haired, white, old fogies over here, and look at our neighbors are nice. They have different gods, and they have some good things that look like, you know, we ought to be doing that. And so what happened? It became a trap and a snare for them, right? And they went after other gods. So God had to correct them. See? So he says, take heed to yourselves that your heart may not be deceived. Now, the only way to keep yourself from being deceived in your heart is what? Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, right? You need the word of God to continually give you direction, to continually give you understanding, so that you're not going to deceive yourself. If you love the truth and know that God is truth, know that his word is truth, if you follow that as God has said, then you're not going to deceive yourself. But you see, it's just like Christmas today. Christmas is the epitome of Satan's most gigantic hook into people. It's built on what? Oh, the name of Jesus. It's built on his birth. Oh, we're happy that he's born. It's built around family. It's built around giving. It's built around the children. Oh, and the family. And everything together. And oh, by the way, we're going to commemorate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's what a Christmas tree is. With all those sex symbols on there. Do you know how that beautiful, you know, what do they call that that winds around the tree? You look at it, it's a nice serpent going around the tree. And I know as a little kid growing up, I wasn't such a little kid then. I must have been about 13, 14. And they came out with angel hair for the first time. And boy, with the light, you put that up on the star and you drape that down over the tree and you turn the lights on and everything just becomes magic. Now, what could be wrong with that? Aren't they having fun? Aren't they doing things for the children, giving gifts for their children? Anyone who would be against that is Scrooge. Don't they have a movie on that? Yes. See? That's the biggest hook. It looks good, it sounds good, it feels good, and by the time you have a few eggnogs with some whoopee-doo in it, you know, everything is really good, see? And then there's kissing under the mistletoe. That's New Year's, isn't it?
No.
Or is that Christmas? Is that Christmas? See, I've been away from it so long, I've forgotten a lot of it, okay? All right. Do not deceive yourself and turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. We're just having fun. We're just doing it for the enjoyment of it. Never consider the lies and never consider that you're being taken away from God. See? So he says, and the Lord's wrath didn't get to pause on it. Thought it was going to sneeze, but I didn't. So anyway, it's unedited in services. So if everyone here can live with it, you out there in video land can live with it too. But a lot of people say it's better to get a video than to get a CD. So if that's your bailiwick, we'll keep giving them to you. But hold up on the criticisms, because we don't edit it. Okay? You get the raw sermon as it is. All right. And you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Well, we're doing this to the name of Jesus. Remember where we started with the if clause? What was the first one? Genesis 4 and verse 7. If you do well, shall you not be accepted? If you do not well, sin lies at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. See, you have to rule over the deception that's within. You have to rule over the pulls of the lust of the flesh. God gives you the strength to do it. Then he says, wrath of God be stirred up against you. All right. Let's come to chapter 12. I want you to read everything in between. We're just going to some of the if clauses here. Okay? Let's come to verse 28. Deuteronomy 12 and verse 28. Now this is true Old Testament and New Testament. See? Both. Be careful to observe and obey all these words which I commanded you. What did Jesus say? You can read the last part of John 12. John 12, verse 42 to the end. The words that I speak, they shall judge you, correct? What did Jesus also say? Those who hear my words and do not do them, I liken to a man who builds his house on the ground, not the one who builds it on the rock. Okay? Be careful to observe and obey all the words which I command you, so that it may go well with you. Doesn't everyone want it to go well with them? Yes. But Satan comes along and says, now there's a shortcut, and I'll give you a benefit. Okay. Be well with you and with your children. And isn't that what you want to do with your children? Well, that's why we keep Christmas. Really? After your children after you forever. When, now notice, when could be if you do that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God. And then God pours his blessing out, right? We've all experienced that too, haven't we? Yes. When the Lord your God shall cut off the nations before you, where you go to possess them and take their place and dwell in their land. After God has done all of this, I mean, it's really, even in the old covenant, it's really a fair bargain, isn't it? Yes, indeed. He has another requirement. Therefore, take heed to yourself that you do not become ensnared by following them, that is the nations, after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not ask about their God, saying, how did these nations serve their gods, that I may also do likewise? And as Jeremiah 7 shows, they did it right at the temple of God. You shall not do so to the Lord your God. For every abomination to the Lord which he hates. Now, when it talks about shedding innocent blood, there are two forms of innocent blood that he talks about in the book of Jeremiah, in the book of Ezekiel, and Isaiah, which is this. Number one, the most innocent, is the offering of children to Moloch, so that they would be a sacrifice to Moloch. That was their way of handling abortion. Okay? I mean, think of the ceremony and everything. They would get them out there and have them drinking wine laced with drugs and things like that. And the drums were beating and the priest was there, and this, after all, was to God. Don't do that. For every abomination to the Lord, which he hates, they have done to their gods, even their sons and their daughters, have they burned in the fire to their gods. That innocent blood. The other innocent blood is allowing murderers to go through the land. Now notice verse 32. Whatsoever thing that I command you, be careful to do it. You shall not add to it nor take away from it. Does that not sound like Genesis 4, 7? Yes, indeed. See? Chapter 13 and verse 1. Here's another if. If a prophet arises among you or a dreamer of dreams and gives you a sign or wonder, and the sign or wonder which he foretold you comes to pass, saying, let us go after other gods which you have not known, let us serve them. And that applies back to verse 32 in chapter 12. Don't add to or take away from. So that applies today. When they say, well, you don't need to do the Old Testament, that's all been done away. And it's interesting that the Protestants have it this way. And I really did not know the severity of it and how they hook people into it. They believe in Jesus and forgiveness of sin. Fine. That's well and good. They believe in Christmas because Jesus was born then. They believe in Easter because commemorates the resurrection. And everything else is grace. So all of the religious arguments beyond that, we just ignore. So you talk about slicing and dicing the scriptures. But it's so pleasant and it's so easy. You know, isn't that nice? Well, like the man I mentioned here, I think it was last week, who he was doing good works and helping the poor and taking care of widows and things like that. And then I asked him, well, what do you think about the first commandment, second commandment, third commandment? When I hit the fourth commandment, he says, not getting into that argument. See? And of course, we need a church where we don't have arguments, right? So we just ignore it. And we don't need to do it. And isn't that wonderful? We can all get along. Well, that's what it's talking about here. Let us go after other gods which you've not known, and let us serve them. You shall not hearken to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. That's why those things come along. Just like it said there when we talked about Hezekiah, when God said that he left him to prove what was in his heart. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice and serve him and hold fast to him. Then they were to take that prophet and dreamer of dreams and go out and eliminate him. Well, today the church does not have, so hold your place here in Deuteronomy, and let's come back to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, 1 Corinthians 11. Today, as we have covered before, the new covenant does not have the administration of death. The greatest enforcement that the church has spiritually is disfellowshipment or expulsion from the congregation. They cannot kill, they cannot murder, they cannot execute, they cannot throw in prison, they cannot bind them in stocks, they cannot put them in dark rooms to correct them and all that sort of thing. No. Greatest thing we have is the Word of God to correct us, and we have to be self-correcting as led with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, 1 Corinthians 11 is very interesting because they had a dispute over keeping the Passover. And just like today, like one man, you know, as I gave Passover 101, this man has come out of Protestantism and he doesn't know anything about the Passover, and we just published the new Passover book, and he was reading it, and he came to church and and asked me the question, well, can you give me a quick Passover 101? Said, why, you know, how come you have so much in the Passover book? And I said, well, because those are as many questions as we know about today concerning the Passover and all the difficulties surrounding it, because the world and Satan cannot let people know the truth of the Passover, because that would put them in direct contact with Jesus Christ and God the Father. So we say it's unimportant. We say we don't need to. And what they're doing is piling on a lot of skubala, you know, and that's normally called manure or dung. So it was happening in Paul's day. Now, they had contentions here, so let's pick it up in verse 17. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 17. Now, in this that I am commanding you, I do not praise you, because when you assemble together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. You know, some people have said, well, I was in a good mood until I went to church. Sounds like that's still going on today, okay? For first of all, I heard that there are divisions among you when you were assembled together in the church, and I partly believe it. Now, notice verse 19. This ties exactly in with what we read in Deuteronomy 13. For it is necessary that heresies be among you. They're going to spring up. How are they going to handle it? What are you going to do with it? See? So that the ones who are approved may become manifest among you. Now, you need to use that as a guide. Where is the truth really being spoken? And also, it does this. It also puts the burden upon the individual member coming to church, who is responsible for what he hears. And if he or she hears something that's contrary to the Word of God, you go up and ask the minister, what about this? Because, see, that's the way that heresy comes in. And what is the whole theme of the Feast of Unleavened Bread? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. See? And isn't it interesting the way that the Holy Days and Passover are designed? Just a quick review. The Passover comes first and is not a holy day because of everything that was done on that day. And that was part of the work of the Lord, that he had to go through it to die. But also, before you come in contact with the true God, you must go through Christ. Isn't that what he said? So that's why it comes first. That's why the Christian Passover, with Christ being our Passover and our sacrifice, comes first. Why? Because your sins must be forgiven first. Right? Yes. Then what immediately follows that is what? The Feast of Unleavened Bread. And that is what? How to get sin out of your life spiritually. True? Yes. So God's way follows along in the progression that it should. And then you have 7 weeks to Pentecost, which then are the weeks where you grow and overcome, showing your lifetime, as it were, until the resurrection at Pentecost. Now that takes care of the church. Then along comes trumpets and atonement and tabernacles, and this shows us that the true kingdom of God must come from heaven. Christ must return, set it up on the earth, get rid of Satan the devil, and establish the kingdom of God in the millennium, and we have been trained to become part of that. So God has a plan. Then you have the last great day. What is God going to do to all of those that he never called? Well, different religions would have him burning in hell forever. God says, no. The dead know nothing. I'm going to resurrect them and give them an opportunity for salvation that they never had in their first life. Now, how's that for love? How's that for a plan? All right, so heresies must come up so that we are all going to be on guard. All right, let's come back to the book of Deuteronomy here, okay? Let's see some more of the if clauses. Okay, let's come to... Now let's come clear over to Deuteronomy 28. I covered some of these recently on Church at Home, showing what's going on in a nation. And I actually did 6 Church at Home reading through it, and it worked out better reading half-hour segments, covering it half-hour segments, because Deuteronomy 28 is really one of the, when you get into the curses, boy, that's heavy reading, heavy, heavy, heavy reading. And it's hard to take all at once, so we're not going to cover any more here than just the if clauses to show that God gives us the choice. What are we going to do? So Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Okay. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God. Now, how many times have we read that? We're to hearken diligently. See? To observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. Now, you might think about that when you read the Constitution of the United States and how they started out. This nation came closer than any nation in the entire history of mankind to base everything they did on God. Now, they didn't have all the knowledge that we have today, but they had all the knowledge of all of the corrupt kings and the knowledge of civilizations in past, and they understood certain basic things that people must be ruled by God and they must choose individually. Collectively, the people should have enough sense by studying and reading the Bible to be able to have a government that would be limited over them. But the mistake has been that the Constitution, as good as it is, can never replace the Word of God. And if you have people who leave the principles of the Bible and the Word of God, you're going to end up with a giant mess like we have today, where they take the freedom of religion. See, that was their big mistake. It should have been the true worship of God. Now, what was produced was better than anything else up to that point, because it was based mainly on the Word of God, some trust in Christ, etc. But here is the thing. Verse 1, if you shall diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God to observe to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. God put us there because of his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're going to see we didn't do it, so now he's taking us down. Verse 2, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you will obey the voice of the Lord your God. Then he lists all the blessings. Everyone loves to have all the blessings. He sums it up here in verse 13. Again, the if clause. You see, human nature is the variable in it. God is not the variable. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God cannot lie. God gave his promises. And even in the things that we saw, even like concerning David, even though David sinned very grievously, God didn't change his promise because his word is true, right? Yes. Now here it is again, verse 13. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you shall always be above, and you shall not be beneath, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, to observe and to do them. And you shall not go aside from the words which I command you today, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. And isn't it amazing how many times in the Bible does it say, don't go after other gods to serve them, and yet what is the first thing that people do? Go after other gods to serve them, right? So that shows you what human nature is like. Now, verse 15, another if clause. And it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. And Dan, boy, is it a big, heavy duty dirge, reading all the rest of Deuteronomy 28. So I'll leave that up to you to read. You might have to take it in several sessions because it's pretty heavy, and it gets toward the end. It gets into sickness and plague and calamity and cannibalism and all of that sort of thing. Now, verse 58, okay? Verse 58, after talking about the siege of the enemy within, and I'll have something to say about that after the Feast of Tabernacles. Just to give you something to think on, how many Islamic mosques are in the United States of America? And they present a great problem. All you have to do is look at England. There are 2,300. That's to say nothing of other elements that could rise up and be an army. And remember, the curse is this in Leviticus 26. He said, if you keep my commandments, 5 of you shall chase 1,000, and 100 of you shall chase 10,000. But the curse is, if you don't obey me, 5 will chase 1,000 of you, and 100 will take care of 10,000 of you. So it doesn't have to be a great invading army. I mean, look at the great army that we have in Afghanistan. What is it? 5 chase 100, right? 100 go after 5? And they kill them, and another one rises up, and they kill them, and another one rises up? See, because you can't take care of God's business yourself by going to war and fighting unless you return to God first. Can God take care of Afghanistan, Pakistan, and all of them? Oh, yeah, he sure can. What are some of the weapons that God has? Well, he already showed it in Pakistan. A great flood. Great earthquakes, right? He could make them fight against themselves, couldn't he? Remember what happened when Hezekiah went in and prayed and asked God to fight the battle for him? He said, okay, I'm going to fight for Jerusalem for my name's sake. The whole 185,000 of the army of the Assyrians fought against each other and killed each other, and they were dead. So they went out in the morning to go to battle. No army. I mean, isn't that a better super secret weapon than all the bombs in the world? Yes. You know, God can take care of Iran and little Hitler running around there. Let one of their bombs explode while they put it on a rocket. That'll take care of them. See? And I feel sorry for the Jews. And they're going to learn their only recourse is not trying to make peace with those who hate you, but you better make peace with God. And you better make peace with Christ. And you better quit your rejecting of Jesus Christ. Yes. Reject some of the Christian religions that you see, absolutely. But if you're a Jew, you better read Zechariah 12. God is yet going to fight for Jerusalem, but only when there is a great repentance by the people there. God is not going to do it just because we desire it. So it's something here. Verse 58, if you will not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear the glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will make your plagues extraordinary, and the plagues of your seed great and persistent plagues, with evil and long-lasting sickness, and he will bring on you all the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. And every sickness and every plague that's not written in the book of this law, the Lord will bring upon them, until you are destroyed and you are left few in number. I mean, look at the number of diseases that there are today. They're not listed here. I mean, if you watch any television, you know, all of the drugs and things that they have. And how did we get this way? Because we left God. And what happened? We let the multinational companies begin to genetically modify the food so our food is not food. And to give us medicines to take care of it because we're not seeking God. See, all of those things. So, he says there that he will hear them if they get into captivity. All right, let's come to Deuteronomy 30. We'll finish here with Deuteronomy 30. And it shall come to pass when all these blessings have come upon you, verse 1, and the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and when you shall call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you, and shall return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all I command you today, you and your children with all your heart, with all your soul, then... See? Then, the Lord your God will turn away your captivity, and he will have compassion on you, and will return and gather you from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. He said, even if you're out in the heavens, well, we know how that can happen today, right? Yes. So then, he says he's going to make it easy for you. That has to do with the Bible. I want to especially bring this up today. All of us have the Word of God today. Never as any generation has ever had it like we have it. We have the Bible. We have it audio. We have it video. We have it digital. Right? You can put it on your cell phone. You can put it in your your iPod. You can plug it into your ears and you can listen to it as you go along. Or you can plug it into your ears and you can be all hype on all of the satanic music that's around, you see. Never before. And it's interesting how that human nature is so dangerous. Human nature is dangerous when everything is going well. Remember that. Because you become complacent in many different areas. So likewise with the Word of God. The only way you're going to get the washing of the Word of God to have your mind cleansed is to study it. And that includes every minister and elder and teacher, because you can't teach and you can't preach and you can't do it by just going back and using your same old notes that you've used for 50 years. That'll never do. God says, I'm going to make it easy for you. Verse 11. Let's go back here to verse 10. If you shall obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, always there is repentance, and God will honor repentance according to the degree of knowledge that you have. That's why I think there is hope for the United States for the time being. For this commandment which I command you today is not hidden from you, neither is it far off. It's not in heaven that who's going to say, who's going to send a rocket up to get it for us, bring it here, okay, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who shall go over the sea to bring it to us so that we may hear it and do it? The word is very near you in your mouth and in your heart so that you may do it. Meaning it's in a language you can understand, and it's not difficult to understand if you're willing. Behold, I've set before you this day life and good, death and evil. That's every day. Remember what I said. you're only a breath away from death. In that I command you this day to love the Lord your God. See how many times God says love him? Do you love him with all your heart, mind, and soul and being? And that's where it's supposed to be with all of us, correct? Yes. To walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, so that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God shall bless you in the land where you go to possess it. We have a greater land to possess, don't we? We have the kingdom of God to possess, don't we? We have an inheritance that's better than that, don't we? It's eternal. And the ultimate is going to be what? New Jerusalem. Living for all eternity. And if you think God has a good plan now, wait until he unveils his plan when we're all spirit beings and New Jerusalem is here on the earth and says, all right, all my children, here is my plan. Whoo! That's going to be something, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Verse 17, but if your heart turn away so that you will not hear and shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. Notice how many times the if and the when and the if and the then clause always has to do with obeying God or other gods. Which is what? The first commandment, correct? Yes. Worship other gods and serve them. I denounce to you this day that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days on the land where you go over Jordan to possess it. In our case, spiritually, we won't be there. So here's the record. God uses things that are obvious, that everybody understands. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Heaven and earth are here. We enjoy looking at the beautiful earth. We enjoy looking at the heavens. We enjoy everything that is here, right? All the food and everything. Just before we came down here to services, Dolores and I had a wonderful white peach nectarine. I mean, just so sweet it just melts in your mouth. See? And God made that. And I can't help but think every time I squeeze some juice from a lemon or an orange or cut a peach, there's a little stem. That little stem on that nectarine, that's how long it was. And it was attached to the tree. And look what came of it. So you see, little things can produce wonderful things because of God. So heaven and earth. That's a witness. Can't miss it. As soon as you walk out of here, you're going to see it, right? Blessing or cursing. Therefore, choose life so that both you and your seed may live, that you may love the Lord your God and may obey his voice and may cleave to him. Notice it is may. See, conditional. May obey his voice. Conditional, and may cleave to him, for he is your life and length of days. Now, spiritually, he is our life and eternal life, correct? Yes. So that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them, and the ultimate is the kingdom of God. So you see, these if clauses are very important. So remember, the if, the when, and the then. And remember the witness, heaven and earth. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.